things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Week 3 Edition, Season 7 of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
Hey, and Sean, how you doing?
Good. We did it.
Well, I wasn't real confident. I don't know if you remember when we were doing the picks, and I was like hemming and hawing if I'm going to pick the Packers or pick the 49ers. It's just a little bit of uncertainty there. I mean, you look at history and how we don't play well in California.
Yeah. I mean, he got that monkey off his back a little, I think, which is good. Packers won 30-28 on a last-second field goal from Mason Crosby. 51-yarder, I believe, for Crosby.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So. Yeah, Mason actually was 51 yards through the uprights. Mm-hmm. That got us in there. Got us the win. Ran out of time. He made all three field goal attempts. And those came from 54 and 38 yards. He also connected on all three of his extra point attempts. This is the eighth time that he has won Special Teams Player of the Week for the NFC, starting the first time in his rookie year in 2007. He has, I don't know, knock on wood, has not missed a field goal since the 2019 season. He hit everything last year. And everything so far this year. Not bad for a gray-haired fella.
I think it was 2018 he missed, was it five field goals against Dallas or something like that? In one
game? I don't remember. I know that there was a time that people were calling for his head because he was just like way out there.
But this is a big win. Big win for the Packers. It was closer than it should have been for a number of reasons during the game. Because the Packers did outplay them, it seemed, for the vast majority of the game, especially right out the gate. They started up 17-0. Special teams gaffe led them to scoring, and then they quickly made it 14-7 going into halftime, which did not feel great after being up by 17 just a few minutes before that, it felt like. But yeah, overall, I think the offense looked really good in this one. I think they adapted well to the game. I liked a lot of what we saw from the defense. Still have some concerns there, but I don't know. I think best game we've definitely seen so far this year, only through three games, because this kind of gets the taste out of your mouth from the first game, how poorly we played against the Saints. Because this is a good 49ers team.
It is a good 49ers team, and I think we got a little help from Garoppolo, which it's just because he's human, and when Rodgers is in his zone, he's not. Rodgers got sacked once. I think Garoppolo got sacked a couple of times.
Four times? Yep. Yeah, we were getting some good pressure. And Rodgers only getting sacked one time is a big deal when we have Elton Jenkins out. And we're going up against Joey Bosa, one of the best rushers in the league. A lot of the passes Rodgers got out were just fast, like under 2.5 seconds. I think a lot of them, I think he was like 14 for 14 under 2.5 seconds on the pass. And on his quick passes, he averaged 2.17 seconds. And while doing that, while getting the ball away faster than anyone in the league this week, he also had the best, average depth of throw. Yeah, that's it. ADOT. Average depth of throw. So even though we were throwing under 2.5 seconds, we were getting I think it was like 9.7 yards a throw where he was targeting receivers downfield. So we're stretching them even though we're throwing it fast.
I was looking for, excuse me, passing between Rodgers and Garoppolo. It was Aaron had 33 attempts, 23 completions, and a passer rating of just over 113. Garoppolo was 40 for 25 and had a passer rating of just over 87. So that definitely helps. But he was connecting with Kittle as tight end, and so that really helped them move the ball down the field there in the latter part of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had some good connections, especially because we were blitzing more than we normally do. Joe Barry, especially on third down, was calling up the blitzes quite a bit. So if they do get the ball away, Kittle's going to be that safety net a lot of the time. But I did like the pressure we got on him. I liked seeing our offense do something different than we've done. It wasn't the typical, you know, run to set up the play action. We only had three play action plays this whole game. There wasn't screens. There wasn't the, you know, set up the post route. It was, we know that Joey Bosa is coming for us, and we don't have a great way of protecting him. Let's get the ball out fast.
And get the ball out fast, yeah.
Yeah, it just showed that they can adapt, basically, to the team. They can counter what they need to counter with the team, and that's something I don't know if we've seen the last couple of years. And I know it's just one game, but it was nice to see them adapt to their weakness instead of McCarthy just going, well, shit, hope they can block them.
Yeah. Well, they were absolutely doing what you're talking about. They were also chipping him and slowing him down. But when you're throwing the ball that quickly, it's...
Big Bob Tonyan pancaked him at one point. Do you remember that play? The tight end pancaked Joey Bosa, just flattened him. It was probably his best block of his career.
I'm looking at 7, 9, 13. So Davante Adams had 18 targets, 12 receptions, and the rest of the receivers, whatever position, that's 4, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
The rest
12,
had
13. Yeah. That's interesting when they were putting so much emphasis on Adams and he was still able to do it. That ending with him catching those two passes was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, those
were crazy. And, I mean, his longest play was 25 yards. So even on those, he's not getting more than 25 yards. He's just getting those chunk plays where they need him. And that's basically what he did this whole game. He was where they needed him. On those quick passes, he's able to get separation on the line. So it goes to him. You know, I liked a lot of what I saw. You said 13 of them were from other receivers, but four of those 13 are running backs, Jones and Dillon.
Yes, yes.
So it pretty much was Davante Adams. They had that nice deep ball, 47 yards to Marcus Valdes-Scantling. But other than that...
Yeah, that's a beautiful, beautiful play.
Other than that, it was Adams, and I noticed some good blocking from Robert Tonyan and Alan Lazard. And the Cobb had a nice, on that first touchdown we had to run the ball in, Cobb motioned a couple guys out of the zone to spring them loose. So, I don't know, we didn't have anyone really doing much besides Adams, but they were blocking, they were... You know, they had energy out there on the field. It's not like we only had the one receiver.
Right, right. No, I agree. I mean, and that's a team sport. You know, there's times where one guy will lift the rest of the team for the game, and that's what you need. So, but yards after catch for him was phenomenal. There was a lot of times where he would get another 3, 5, 7 yards.
What was his yards after catch?
I don't know. I'm not sure where to look it up on this.
Let me look.
All right. You do that. I also wanted to ask, because you had a special day. You had some special friends over to watch the game.
Oh, yeah, I went to their place.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. I didn't want to have to clean.
So, can we say their names? Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead. I went to Daniel and Amelia's house.
Amelia.
Daniel grew up in California, and is a big 49ers fan. So we got together to watch this game, and it was a heck of a game to watch together.
He is one of, and her as well, one of the nicest people you could ever meet. And so I actually, it's weird because I really like him. And so then, you know, to lose that way, because he was here for, we watched the 49ers in the playoffs one year, right?
Mm-hmm.
He came to
my
house.
Came over.
Yeah, and so I feel bad for him because I know what it sucks. It's not fun.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Did you find your yard after catch?
No, I didn't find it, but okay. I was just going to say, yeah, it was good going over there. I wanted to get everyone together for the game, but we had talked about them getting tested for COVID, but they were actually the evening before at the Renaissance Festival, so that didn't really make sense.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was good to watch together. There was that play where I think it was Adams, right? He just got drilled in the head on that play. It looked like he was going to be out the rest of the game, and he came back in.
Oh, yeah.
Just an obvious, yes. Targeting. No, they don't call it target. That's college. What did they call it in the NFL?
Unnecessary roughness.
Defenseless receiver penalty. It pretty obviously was, and so we're watching the game, that happens, we're talking about is Adam's going to be okay, and Daniel goes, hey, just out of curiosity, since you watch a lot more football, that should have been a big penalty, right? And I'm like, yeah, no, that definitely should have been a big penalty.
Yeah, we'll see if the NFL... The refs didn't think so, but we'll see if the NFL does, if they levy a fine on him. But it was helmet to helmet. I don't know how you could.
Yeah, and defenseless receiver, it is just ugly. Some bad calls all around that game. But a lot, speaking of the NFL having to address things, did you see, I'm blanking on his name right now, the head coach for the Lions.
Dan, I don't know. He's new.
Yeah. He called the NFL office about the fact that there was 0 seconds on the clock when the 60 whatever yard record breaking field goal was kicked.
The refs didn't
notice that for almost 2 seconds there was zeros on the clock before the ball was kicked.
Oh god!
So not only did they lose with a record breaking field goal, they technically should have won because the clock ran out, but the refs were all watching something else. It's more of the, people are going to call for the eye in the sky referee.
Yes, we have to. We have to, especially with betting coming on so strong now. It's legalized gambling. They're going to have to. There's no choice. They have to shore up. The NFL is notorious for dragging it out and always being, we're not going to be one of those people that jump in too soon. Of course, a lot of it is money. But they're making a ton of dough now with their sports betting. So Adams, I think he was out for one play. And
yeah,
he came back.
It wasn't long at all. It looked ugly, but he said it. He said it kind of hurt. I think his chest. He said the hit from the guy's shoulder to his chest hurt a lot more than anything to his head. It just looked bad.
Well, coming up here, and I don't mean to jump too far ahead, but we've got the Steelers coming to Green Bay this Sunday. It's an 11, or excuse me, a 3:25 game. They've been, it's been rough. Roethlisberger, Big Ben's been, he's taken 17 hits in the last two games. And he's had 8 sacks in the last 3 weeks after having only 13 all last season. They're 25th in total offense, 28th in points scored. They're 32nd in rushing, which is not good when you got a quarterback that's hurting and not playing the best of his game. He's completed 64% of his passes this year for 801 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. So hopefully they don't right their ship this week. We can take advantage of their, it's not unusual for a team like Pittsburgh, though, to come back around as the season moves on. But right now they're struggling.
I mean, yeah, Roethlisberger, I think he's 36, 37, and he's not he's not like he's not Tom Brady where he takes a bad hit to the knee and they change the league rules to make sure it doesn't happen. This guy has taken like a lot of hits and he's been dragged down by a lot of big guys.
Well, he's that kind of player though.
Yeah, you know, it's like Cam Newton where you won't get a roughing the passer called because the quarterback's a giant.
He is huge.
So, yeah, he's gotten a little beat up over the years. It makes sense that he, you know, he's not the guy he used to be. He's not the guy that Rodgers was across the field from in 2010, which is the last time these guys played each other in the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. You know, some people... Sorry, go ahead.
Do you remember going on... I think we went on a cruise and we had the shuttle guy driving and we were in Florida. I can't remember where. And we found out he was a Pittsburgh fan and we all just started grinning because we'd won the Super Bowl against Pittsburgh. And he's like, what? And we told him, he's like, oh, you're everywhere.
I was just looking at our defensive stats here. You're talking about the struggles with Pittsburgh. Not only is Roethlisberger struggling, but their offensive line in general. And so just kind of looking at, you know, where our defense was after this week. Eric Stokes, I know he's a rookie. I know rookie cornerbacks are notoriously not a good idea in the NFL. But he has looked really good, in my opinion. Head and shoulders above Kevin King.
I would agree totally with you on that. I've been a little bit, we've both been a little salty about Kevin King for a while. and that was before the loss in the NFC Championship game against Tampa Bay when he biffed the whole thing. But was it Campbell, the linebacker, that's been playing so good? I mean, he got a interception.
We've needed a sideline to sideline linebacker for I don't know how long. I mean, we haven't been able to stop a mobile quarterback because we never have a linebacker to do it with. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to look up.
Oh, he's got some nice dreads.
I was going to say, he has an interesting story. I'm trying to look it up here. I'm sorry.
Oh, really? What, didn't he
He played for Minnesota. That's what it was. Because we are located in the heart of Minnesota. He went to Hutchinson Community College and then transferred to Minnesota and was selected in the fourth round by the Falcons in the 2016 draft.
Ah, interesting.
But he has been reliable. He has been speedy from sideline to sideline. He has been tackling with his arms instead of his shoulder, which is a nice change of pace as well for the Packers. He has looked really good. I'm cautiously optimistic after week three with our defense overall. I think Campbell has shored up a lot in the middle. Jair Alexander is looking great still. He got that nice interception this game. I think Darnell Savage, Adrian Amos are going to still be those good two high safeties where one guy can, you know, come down in the box, play on the line of scrimmage a little bit. We're starting to get pressure. We don't have Smith out there. But I'm trying to remember who got the sacks this game. I'm looking it up here. Burks got half a sack. Garvin got half a sack. Kenny Clark got a sack. And Preston Smith got a sack. I think it's been a while since Preston Smith got a sack. It was interesting to see a guy with the last name Smith get a sack, and it wasn't Zadarius.
Preston's had
a few nice plays, but...
Garoppolo, how many interceptions did he throw, do you remember?
I think he threw two.
And then he also fumbled.
He threw one interception. One interception, okay. Well, the fumble was either a fumble or intentional grounding. Because, you know, the whole idea of intentional grounding is you can't just throw it in the ground when you're about to be sacked. And that is what he was doing when it slipped out of his hand and turned into a fumble. So either way... that play was not going well for them.
Forward,
yeah.
But I don't know if you saw that. I mean, this is a game changer for us for the rest of the year. The Packers added some depth at tight end. They announced that they signed Tyler Davis off the Colts practice squad.
Okay.
Not much news about the guy because, you know, he hasn't played much. Mm-hmm. He was a sixth-round pick in 2020 for the Jaguars. Appeared in 8 games last year. Handful of snaps on offense and special teams. He did not record a reception, but did have a couple of thrown at him. So that's the news I got for you on that. And before we move on to...
I think we have Jay Sternberger coming back.
Do we?
I think, was it a 3 or 4 game suspension? We released him last week after his 2-game suspension. I did not even see that news. Man, that's too bad because he was supposed to be the next tight end for us. Because we haven't had a very athletic tight end since JerMichael Finley. And Jay Sternberger was supposed to kind of fill in and start to be that guy, and it never really just kind of happened. I don't know.
Mm. Hey, a little right turn here. Have you seen all the talk about our favorite clock manager getting a lot of grief in Dallas?
You told me last week he got a lot of grief for his clock management.
He did it again.
He did it again?
Yeah, and he's lucky that the Eagles were so inept that they were able to win.
You know one thing that's really hurting McCarthy since he left, and one thing that even helped us this game, probably helps us every game? Having Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback hides a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
And he no longer has Aaron Rodgers. So,
I think we talked about it last week, too, that not having an owner, not having a egotistical, I want to win it this year owner, can possibly be hurting the Packers, too, especially when you got somebody like, you go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And just everybody wants to keep their job. Nobody wants to stick it out there and say, hey, we need to pick somebody up here. They're going to take a chance on this guy. But Mike McCarthy still sucks at clock management, apparently. And he's in a much bigger venue in Dallas than he is in Green Bay, where he can kind of hide. So it's interesting.
It is interesting.
Did you see the Ravens game at all?
Were they the ones that played
Jaguars?
The Jaguars? No,
yep.
Then that's not the game I'm thinking of. What about that game?
This is another...
I thought the Ravens played the Lions. Aren't they the ones that kicked the record-setting field goal against the Lions?
Yes, that's it. Yep. 66-yard field goal.
Okay, you're thinking of the wrong Cats. Okay.
But then on the Jaguars game, the return, the 109-yard return.
I heard about it. I haven't seen the highlight or anything, but I heard it, it tied.
What happens is they short kick the field goal, and Jamal Agnew gets it in the back of the end zone and runs it all the way back.
You know what? I did see that during – I think they showed that highlight during the Packer game at halftime.
It was crazy. It's only happened twice before, Cordell Patterson and Antonio Cromartie.
Yeah. Isn't Antonio Cromartie the one that did it in the Super Bowl, though?
Oh, I don't know.
I think one of them was a big return that the Cardinals had in the Super Bowl. That was like a 109-yarder.
I'm going to let you look that up. I trust your memory. I got a great memory. It's just short, so...
Just doesn't hold anything.
Not much.
Jacoby Jones had a 109-yard kickoff return in 2013 in the Super Bowl for the Ravens.
I wonder why they didn't have him listed. This reporter who I got this information from sucks.
Later corrected to 108.
Ah, that's
why. There you go.
All right, I feel better.
You feel better. Oh, Have poor you, guy.
I'm sure he would have been just devastated. Did you hear how many yards the Bears totaled in their game?
I didn't hear how many they totaled. I heard they averaged 1.2 yards per play, which was the lowest, I believe, since World War II.
47 yards they had total on offense against the Browns.
That's crazy.
Isn't it? I mean, Matt Nagy is the head coach, and he's been calling the plays. Last year when things went south at the end of the season, he turned it over to the offensive coordinator. So I'm thinking he's going to have to do that pretty quick, or else he'll just be losing his job. So
I'm trying to look it up here. I never know what we're going to talk about, so I don't have all the stats up. But I'm pretty sure the team that holds the record for least yards per play is the Bears. Pretty sure I saw that. it would have only been them breaking their own record, because I think the record is 1.1 yards per play. That's pretty sad. That must have been I can't imagine watching that game as a fan.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man.
Can't imagine watching a lot of Chicago games for the last decade or so as a fan. Because I think the last time they looked good is when we played them in the championship game when we went to the Super Bowl in 2010. Because we beat them, I think it was like something crazy, like 10-7. Rodgers had like play action boot sneak into the end zone, which was like their only touchdown on this like crazy cold day when everything was weird with the weather. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, I don't.
Oh, yeah, I think you were you were on vacation. You weren't even watching it with me. You and Marsha went down to sunny wherever and left your children to freeze in Minnesota in January.
I know you suffered so much.
We did. But yeah, so Bears didn't look good. Is kind of what you're getting at, I think.
Yeah, and hopefully they continue to look that way. So, so I just want to tell you about my buddy, my friend, who's he's pretty darn good at this design work that he can do. Do you want to speak for him, Sean?
Sure. So Greenlight Graphic Design, check out the website, greenlightgraphicdesign.com. I do basically business graphic design when it comes to like designing a logo or a brand, or also any marketing, whether that's online, event marketing, product design, things like that. Just give me a call or send me a message through the website. I'm pretty friendly. Make it easy to talk about what you're looking to get done, and it is affordable. So reach out about, you know, whatever you're looking to do. If you're starting a business, starting a brand, or looking to just market what you're currently doing, greenlightgraphicdesign.com. And next.
Yeah, and I'll just throw in as a dad that he is too affordable for the kind of product he puts out there. I'm just throwing it up. You could probably raise your rates. So.
Voice guy next door.
So, voice guy next door. VoiceGuyNextDoor.com. VoiceGuyNextDoor.com. That's what I do. I talk for a living in a small, well, it's a fairly large closet, but broadcast quality. Don't have to worry about any issues. That's one of the big things. You see so many people that just plug in a USB mic on their laptop and they sit in their kitchen or their bathroom and try and do stuff, and it's just like, that's not what you want for the image of your company. You want to sound professional because you are. And I can help you out with that. And just give me a shout. Whatever it is you're looking for, whether for videos, telephone messaging, commercials, it's all over the board. And if I don't think I can do it, I guarantee you I can find somebody who can do it for you, because I know a lot of folks in the business. So voiceguynextdoor.com. Just wanted to mention, this is midweek here. We're recording on Wednesday. Wasn't sure we were going to be able to record today, as a little side note. We've got some major road construction, you know, like resurfacing and putting in new sewer systems and stuff like that. And they were kind enough to unhook our or cut our internet service. So I thought, well, because Sean and I are in different places recording this, but I'm glad we were able to get that figured out. But so Wednesday, we've got, let's see, the did not practice folks would be linebacker Chris Barnes with a concussion, Elkton Jenkins with his ankle, Kevin King has a concussion, and MVS has a hamstring issue. The other folks who are on the list include running back Aaron Jones with an ankle, limited practice. Also, Vernon Scott, safety, has a hamstring, was limited practice. And Josh Myers, the center slash guard, has a finger issue, but he's in the full practice. You got nine. Come on. One finger issue. Let's go.
Yeah, hopefully Elton Jenkins is back. He's is he questionable now? I think I saw he switched from doubtful to questionable. So hopefully he can play.
Well, he did not practice.
Yeah.
That's all okay. I can tell you for Wednesday.
I think that there's a chance he plays. They're not sure if he will. Same with Marquez Valdes-Scantling with the concussion. I think they're not concerned about it being too bad, but you never know with the concussions.
You got on the Pittsburgh Steelers, the one name that sticks out for me is T.J. Watt. He's been dealing with a groin issue. He was kind of a surprise scratch last game on Friday. He was kind of practicing. They were getting him out there, but then all of a sudden they said, no, we're not going to do it. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him play.
So you just mentioned names that stick out. I was thinking about this during your commercial there. Daniel and I could not get over, and I think he deals with this every 49ers game. Their punter, Mitch Wazowski. I don't know if you remember Monsters, Inc., Mike Wazowski,
but
his name is Wisnowski, and we could not stop doing it every time he was out there. Oh, it's Wisnowski. So, names that stick out, that's one of them.
Wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster didn't practice. He's got a rib issue for the Steelers. Roethlisberger's got a pectoral injury, didn't practice. Yeah, I guess that's about it. You know, it's just normal stuff that you happen. You know, you're into the season, so. All right.
How you feel about the Steelers game?
What's that?
I said, do you feel good about the Steelers game?
Yeah, I do. Especially, I feel like the team's coming together. Got the rust off for the most part. Mm-hmm. We're coming back home after a big, big win on the left coast. Yeah. So. You?
Yeah, I think we got this. I think we should beat the Steelers. That should bring us 3-1. And then we got the Bengals. I think that'll be a tough game. They've looked up and down this season, but I think that'll be a tough game. And then after that's the Bears. And you never know with the Bears. Mm-hmm. They could average 1 yard a play for all we know.
Yeah, I agree. And we don't get a bye until like week 13 or something. It's crazy how late our bye is this year.
Is it late? I wonder if that'll help. We've had an early bye the last few seasons, and we've had to, I think, last few seasons. Or last season we had a mid-round bye, but the few seasons before that we kept kind of lamenting the fact we had an early bye, and then by the time it got to like week 4 or week 5, we were like, oh, thank God we have an early bye week to try to get a couple guys healthy. So at least we're not like wishing for the bye week to get here right now.
I agree. Just quickly going through some of the scores. Panthers starting out 3-0 for the first time since 2015 when they went to the Super Bowl. They beat the Texans 24-9. Let's see, Titans over the Colts. Derrick Henry, oh my gosh, he's not just running over people now anymore. He's catching passes too. Titans over the Colts 25-16.
I have to play against him in fantasy. And Derrick Henry against the Jaguars is not someone you want on the opposite fantasy team.
Surprise loss for the Chiefs. They lost to the Chargers 30-24. Kansas City lost two straight games for the first time since weeks 5 and 6 in 2019. Bengals over the Steelers that we see next. You know, for a team that only had under 50 yards, the Bears didn't really the Browns didn't demolish the Bears. It was 26-6, but so the Bears are 1-2. Lions lose to the Ravens.
Still weird to see the Browns winning games, by the way.
Yeah, it's your whole life. You grew up, they didn't win.
They were the Browns.
Let's see, Ravens lost or beat the Lions in that shouldn't have been a field goal 66-yarder. Saints beat the Patriots. Let's see, what else we got? We got the Washington football team coming up later this year, and they lost to the Bills 43-21. Boy, the Bills look good. Wow. And let's see, anything else? Seahawks losing to the Vikings 30-17. That was a bit of a surprise.
Was it, though? Was that a surprise, or did Sean predict that?
Well, I was surprised that you picked that. The Rams over the Bucks, 34-24. It's the kid from Detroit's doing pretty good in L.A. And then lastly, I mentioned that, Cowboys over the Eagles, 41-21, even though Mike McCarthy doesn't know read or watch.
Yeah, it's crazy how many games he's squeaked out of with bad game management with a win.
Well, he doesn't have a bad quarterback now either, so he might be just hiding all of his fallacies or his weaknesses.
Yeah. Well, anything else before we move on to picks? Did you want to look at – I think we got some good games coming up next week, but we can talk about that next week. Should we just go with the NFC North here? We went into last week at a scratch. And we both thought the Browns would beat the Bears, and we were correct. We both thought the Ravens would beat the Lions, and we were both kind of correct. God, I would be so upset if I was a Lions fan. Especially because, it's not just like you lost and you could have won, but you would have beat one of the best teams in the league, too. So, yeah. Vikings beat the Seahawks at home. I picked the Vikings. You took the Seahawks. And we both took the Packers over the 49ers. So I'm up by one going into this next week of picks.
Yeah, it was good. That was a good pick for you and the Vikings.
Yeah, I thought they'd pull it out, backed into a corner to start the season, kind of.
Well, before we do our future picks, do you want to do the game ball?
No, we're talking about picks. We'll do the game ball after.
Okay, so first game I see coming up is you got the Browns at the Vikings.
And do you want me to pick or you?
I don't care. I don't remember who's supposed to go first.
I'm taking the Browns in this
one. I know
who
I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick the Browns, too.
Are you?
Yeah.
Is it where is the game?
It is in Minnesota.
All right, I'll take Minnesota. I'll switch mine.
Well, Justin will be happy.
He will be happy. He'd be very proud of me.
Hey, Justin. Thanks for listening, buddy.
Lions at Bears.
You know what? I just got to think the Bears will turn it around here at home enough to beat the Lions. So I'm going to pick the Bears.
All right. I got the Lions. Unless I'd be pretty low energy if I was the Lions, but I do have the Lions. and then I have the Packers to beat the Steelers.
Yeah, same here.
All right. So I'm up by one, but we differ on two out of the three games coming up. So we will see. I believe I picked the game ball last week. Do you have anyone prepared for this week?
Oh, of course.
Is it going to be who you tried to give it to last week?
And now it's time for the game ball. Salt and pepper, baby. Salt and pepper.
Mason Crosby. I knew you were going with him.
Mr. Hard, special teams in the NFC.
Hard not to. Hard not to go with the guy.
No, I mean, he's just been on
ice in his veins, just... too. And, I mean, it was pretty cool to see. So, even Daniel knew 37 seconds was too long to leave on the clock. With no timeouts.
No timeouts.
No timeouts. But they go down with those two throws. He gets the first one to Adams, and then he gets the second one, and they go and they clock it. And right as they, like, he spikes the ball, you see Rogers' fist pump as he goes to the sideline.
Yep.
Like, he knows they just won the game. He doesn't even doubt that Crosby's gonna, like, make it. I thought that was pretty cool. You know, they sit
yes.
together on the bus every time?
No, I did not know that.
Fun fact.
That's pretty cool. Hey, not to add to our total on picks, but do you wanna make a pick for Sunday night's game between the Buccaneers at the Patriots?
If you want a side pick, or do you want that to go towards the total?
No, I don't want to go for the total. I just want to just for
side
fun. Just for
pick.
Fun.
Where is it? In New England?
Yes. Brady going back home.
All right. Well, I know who I have in that one. Do you know who you have?
Yes.
I have the Bucks.
Same here.
I really cannot see. I can't. Unless Belichick, you know, does some of his magic, I can't see them beating the Buccaneers right now. Speaking of Buccaneers, you see Richard Sherman, number one free agent, just signed with the Buccaneers today.
I did.
That'd be
see
big.
That.
I was kind of hoping we might see him in Green Bay, but.
Yeah, there was somebody else that I just saw. It might have been Tampa Bay as well, that it was a guy who played for, I think he drafted by the Titans, and then it was just a screw-up.
You mean Josh Gordon?
Meeting. I thought he was a defensive lineman. But then they traded him to Miami for like a seventh-round pick. It was their first-round pick they gave up on. And then Miami gave up on him right away because he didn't show up on time for anything, for his workouts, for his testing, to his physical. And so I think Tampa Bay is giving him another shot. But it's like, man, if you got talent, they'll keep you around as long as they can.
Hey,
no matter what kind of person.
If you have enough talent, you can do whatever you want in the NFL. They've proven that time and again. You can't hit a woman unless you're an all-pro. Like, they're not exactly the fair rules across the board league.
With the security tape showing you doing this and dragging her by her hair. Yeah. That. It happens in the NFL.
It's interesting. I don't know. I think, I won't go there. I won't just start talking about how immoral parts of the NFL.
Well, you've got billionaire owners that pretty much get whatever they want, whenever they want.
Yeah.
And whitewash and whatever they want.
The better the players, you know, there's just different set of rules. Like if Ted Bundy could run a 4-3, you know, they said he was antisocial, and that was the only thing wrong with him.
Boy, that's going.
I was trying to think of a serial killer. I was like, this is not the best one to think of, but it's the only one in my head. I was struggling to think of a good serial killer.
I was trying to think of who was the guy from Milwaukee that was just notorious. He worked at a chocolate factory, and he would stuff people in these 50-gallon drums.
Jesus.
So they would, you know, the chemicals would eat them up. They wouldn't have anything. And I believe, if memory serves, it was. They just stumbled on them. They just They weren't able to figure out who was doing all this killing, but then they somehow stumbled across him. But anyway, let's not end on this kind of a note.
We, just a heads up, we should end soon here, because I forgot to plug in my laptop. It's in the other room, and I got just notified I have 10 minutes.
Okay. So how about this time we do a go, pack, go. You start, I'll come back, then you go, and then we'll try it together.
No, that's silly. We still have to get Jenny and Marsha, just record them doing it, and we can just add it in. But I believe in us for this one.
It's not happening this week.
3, 2, 1. Go, pack,
pack. Go!
Wasn't horrible.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go, pack, go!